RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin. As usual in today's edition, we are going to bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus also news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
First, the headlines. Indonesia really needs state defense program. Police give hot stamp on reliable news on social media. Now the news in detail. Home Affairs Minister Cahyokumolo at the sidelines of leaders meeting 2017 at the Indonesian Defense Minister building said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia totally needs state defense program for all people. He said it's not military duty. The program is designed to enhance people's understanding of state struggle, history, and the values of Pancasila as a guidance for the state and nation life.
Bela negara ini sudah merupakan sebuah.
The state defense is a need that must be implemented immediately, in which whoever takes the rule, it must be comprehensive and integral. For other people, state defense does not mean holding weapon, but at least by participation state defense, they can comprehend five basic principles in the state of Indonesia, or Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, unity, I should say Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, unity in diversity, and the constitution, state struggle history is a must.
Itu wajib.
Minister Cahyokumolo also explained that considering world's current situation and in the future, all state components of Indonesia must be able to apply the values of Pancasila. Therefore, to counter the upcoming challenges, Indonesian government will fill state defense curriculum from elementary school up to universities. The National Police Polri expressed their reservation in fighting hoax news. National Police spokesperson Brigadier General Rick Wanto said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the police would not hesitate to take legal action related to the spread of false news. He said that social media is a media where people interact but are often inserted by unreliable news. The police would stand hoax on any unverified news circulating on the internet. So the people will not be confused, contaminated, and misunderstood.
Jadi kita buat stempel yang menyatakan berita ini hoax.
We would stamp hoax on any unverified news. We are looking at news and information circulating on social media in particular. After studying, we will put the stamp on any content deemed unreliable, so it will not circulate. Rick Wanto further explained Polri will release the news that has been stamped on National Police social media page. The Police Cyber Patrol constantly monitors and relevant news in social media. However, General Rick Wanto said the National Police will not put the stamp to the media which had been registered in the Press Council, as the authority is in the Press Council. Press Council Chairman Yosef Adi Prasetyo expressed concern over the spread of hoax news in Indonesia in the public discussion entitled Efforts to Fight Hoax News and Sites that was held in Jakarta on Tuesday, January 12, 2017. Jakarta said the hoax news spread through social media. According to him, the spread of news hoax started since presidential election 2014. Many of the mainstream media are considered as participants, so the people lose trust in the neutrality and the truth of the media. Yosef Adi warns hoax news obscure facts and truths. The Press Council will provide the logo in the verified media.
Caranya seperti apa? mengembalikan otoritas pemegang kebenaran faktual kepada media.
How to give the factual true authority to the mainstream media instead giving logo or QR codes or quick response code on the verified media and implementing a stand-up reporter or journalist competence. Yosef Adi Prasetyo further explained by providing a code that verifies the media, the public will be able to choose to consume information from the trusted or not media. The verified television radio will be marked with jingle that will be aired before and after news program. Yosef Adi also said press council would only protect the freedom of the press for the verified media. The logo will be distributed on February 9, 2017 in conjunction with the National Press Day. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe scheduled to visit Indonesia and meet President Joko Widodo in Bogor, West Japan, January 15 and 16. The heads of state will discuss cooperation in the field of economic cooperation. Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman Armanathan Asisat in Jakarta on Tuesday that at least 30 entrepreneurs who will accompany Prime Minister Shinzo Abe during his visit to Indonesia. In addition to economic cooperation, both parties will discuss maritime sector.
Perdana Menteri Jepang akan didampingi oleh sekitar 30 CEO pelaku usaha.
Japanese Prime Minister will be accompanied by 30 CEOs, business people who are willing to improve cooperation and investment in Indonesia. Considering that there will be 30 CEOs, I believe that the economic sector will have a bigger portion to be discussed by both leaders. Some of economic and maritime issues are to be discussed, namely infrastructure, increase in connectivity, as well as investment in maritime sector.
Antara lain mengenai kerjasama di bidang infrastruktur, kerjasama di bidang upaya peningkatan konektivitas, serta investasi di bidang maritim.
In addition to economic cooperation, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and President Joko Widodo will also discuss political, regional, and international issues. Armanathan Nasir added that the economic cooperation between Indonesia and Japan has shown positive trend in the last few years. In 2016, the total trade between the two countries reached $23.82 billion, while Japanese investment in Indonesia reached $4.498 billion. The positive trend could also be seen in tourism sector. Armanathan also remarked that almost 500,000 Japanese visited Indonesia during 2016. Indonesia will participate in the Middle East Peace Conference to be held on January 14 and 15 in Paris, France. Indonesia Foreign Affairs spokesperson Armanathan said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the Indonesian delegation led by Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister A.M. Fathir will encourage efforts to create a conducive situation for Palestine and Israel to achieve peace process. He added that Indonesia will also encourage the cessation of violence and the construction of illegal settlements on the borders of the two states and create a concrete timetable for the two parties as effort to reach two-state solution.
Utamanya kita akan mendorong agar terciptanya situasi kondusif bagi upaya.
To create a conducive situation for a peace negotiation process, we will also urge the cessation of violence and the development of illegal settlement in the border. Indonesia will encourage to create a concrete timetable for reaching a two-state solution peace negotiation.
Dorong terbentuknya atau dibentuknya suatu timetable yang lebih konkret terhadap upaya mencapai tercapainya kesepakatan terhadap two-state solution.
The Middle East Peace Conference could become the second conference held to create peace in the Middle East region, including Palestine and Israel. Armanathan Nasir added that there are several themes to be discussed in the conference, namely the effort to provide incentives for both Palestine and Israel to reach a two-state solution. The conference will also discuss efforts on capacity building as a preparation for Palestine independence. Armanathan also mentioned that Middle East Peace Conference will also discuss efforts to increase tolerance among people in Palestine and Israel to live side by side in the two-state solution. The last item, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi is scheduled to attend the 15th Asia Cooperation Dialogue to be held in Abu Dhabi on January 17. The Minister Albertin has the theme Sustainable Energy, Abu Dhabi, the capital of sustainable energy. Director of Inter and Interregional Cooperation for Asia Pacific and Africa of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Benjamin Karnadi, said in Jakarta on Tuesday that during the meeting, Indonesia will promote efforts for developing renewable energy to meet global economic challenges. He also said that Indonesia is exploring developing renewable energy, especially hydro-based energy for rural areas.
Indonesia akan menawarkan suatu kerjasama atau
Indonesia
bentuk.
Indonesia will offer cooperation scheme in form of workshop along with friend member countries in food, water, and energy. There are several countries that will cooperate with us, namely United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Kazakhstan, Qatar, China, and the Philippines, and Laos, to conduct the workshop on best practices of micro hydropower plant for rural electrification. This is Indonesia's effort to introduce water-based energy development for rural areas.
Electrification. Jadi ini adalah sebuah upaya Indonesia memperkenalkan pengembangan energi bersumber dari tenaga air untuk wilayah pedesaan, rural electrification.
The 15th ACD meeting will be attended by 34 member countries to identify challenges in Asian region. Benjamin Kennedy views that those challenges, such as the geopolitical and geoeconomic challenges, are caused by economic gaps and limited resources. He added that there will be at least three documents resulted after the meeting, namely the Abu Dhabi Declaration focused on poor energy and clean water. The 15th ACD meeting will also result in an energy plan of action for 2017-2019 on concrete steps to be developed in energy development, as well as a concept paper titled Energy, Water, and Food Nexus. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Barack Obama Began and Ended His Presidency Well. Barack Obama has started and ended his position well as President of the United States. This expression seems right to become a note for him. Recently, he has delivered his final speech as a president and left the White House in Washington after 8 years of being there and did their job well. One of the great expressions of the past black president of the United States is that he has been serving his people for 8 years. The phrase reflects not only his humility but also a form of sincerity to be the head of state and government on which he solidly carried out the mandate of the U.S. people. American people who might be against him before were moved away to hear his farewell expression. Barack Obama was truly serving his people and he always obeyed the mandate of the people. One thing that he always did well was to serve and to provide good health. In this health sector, Barack Obama has tried his best way to help his poor people sustainably. Barack Obama has ended his term as president with a pretty good record. This happy ending was usually started by carrying out a good start. Will Donald Trump do the same thing? Donald Trump, as a millionaire, is expected to carry out his presidency well too. Before taking up his duties as a president of the United States and ending his transition period as a president-elect, Donald Trump underwent an incident at his first press conference, and hopefully this is not bad presage for him. For the first time in American history, a president clashed with a journalist before the public. Trump blasted the world news network CNN, which was considered recklessly to broadcast news about Russia. Previously, Donald Trump also criticized the media. Even during his campaigning, Trump also mentioned that the press has been unfair to him. The image of a government is not fully good or bad relation with the media professionals. As a head of state and government, he or she is a responsible leader for the policies and state activities. Barack Obama has been able to maintain not only his good relation with journalists or media darling, but also written of his reign. He was also consistent and showing his dedication, integrity, and loyalty to the United States and contributing a lot to a better world. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start with an event of the European Allied Countries Assembly which occurred on January 13, 1941. On January 13, 1941, the Allies of World War II held a conference in London. The conference, which was initiated by the Churchill, was aimed at unifying the policies of Allied countries against Germany and Italy. Present at the meeting, the delegates from Netherlands, Belgium, France, Greece, Norway, Luxembourg, Denmark, and the host, England. On January 13, 1993, Gordon Tobing, an Indonesian legendary musician, passed away. Gordon Tobing is a Batak legendary musician, one of Indonesian ethnic in North Sumatra. He died on January 13, 1993. During his lifetime, Gordon Tobing, along with his group, has popularized the Batak folk songs to the world. His ability to sing Batak or Tapanuli regional songs has been thrilling millions of people in dozens of countries that have been visited. Dozens of heads of state were greeted with very memorable appreciation. Since childhood, Gordon Tobing has been trained to play music and vocal by his father. As a musician and singer, Gordon Tobing is indeed deserved to be called the Batak legendary musician. One of his love songs, both domestically and abroad, is a song, Sing Sing So. So this song became famous in many other countries. We conclude with the last event on January 13, 2001, an earthquake hit El Salvador. More than 5,000 people died. The 2001 El Salvador earthquake was the quake with a magnitude of 7.9 Richter scale, rocked El Salvador, that occurred on January 13, 2001. The earthquake, with the epicenter at 60 miles or about 100 kilometers southwest of San Miguel, El Salvador, at a depth of 60 kilometers. As a result of the quake, about 5,000 people were killed, thousands of others injured, and 108,000 homes were damaged. In fact, nearly 2,000 buildings were destroyed. The number of deaths caused by landslides. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll take you to discuss about mining company cannot export concentrate. Starting from Thursday, January 12, 2017, mining companies, mineral and coal in Indonesia are banned to export concentrate. The policy is enforced due to the completion of the revision of Government Regulation No. 1/2014. And the activities of the implementation of mineral and coal enterprises. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, ESDM, Ignatius Jonan, at the Presidential Palace, Jakarta, on Wednesday, January 11, as released by Antara, explained that currently the draft revision of government regulation has been accepted by President Joko Widodo. Then President decided whether to sign or cancel the government regulation, which is a form of relaxation on the export of raw minerals. Therefore, Ignatius Jonan expressed the signal that President will certainly signing the revision of the government regulation. Previously, President Joko Widodo has brought direction related to the plan of concentrate export relaxation. At least, there are 6 points of presidential instructions which were expressed in limited cabinet meeting. President asked the natural wealth should be utilized as much as possible for the prosperity of people in accordance with the 1945 Constitution. Meanwhile, the Director General of Metal, Machinery, Transportation Equipment and Electronics Industry Ministry, Putu Suryawan, said the government policy which requires management and defining of minerals before exporting to raise foreign investment in the smelter industry in the country amounted to 20 trillion rupiah. The Regulation of Energy and Mineral ESDM Minister No. 1/2014 on mineral added value through mineral processing and purification activities in the country mentioned minerals that are not processed and purified in the country cannot be exported. Types of mineral, namely copper, iron ore, manganese, lead and zinc. Suryawan hope the smelter industry can increase contribution toward gross domestic product. He also said, after the economic crisis in 1998, industrial contribution to the gross domestic product has lowered. He said that after the 1998 economic crisis, the industry's contribution to gross domestic product has decreased. Therefore, he hoped the realization and operation of the smelter industry is widely spread in the mine-producing regions, including in Southeast Sulawesi and Central Sulawesi, can run smoothly and not be bothered issue of the use of foreign labors. Listener, that was The Focus.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a unique tourism site from West Java Province. Stay tuned. Listener, West Java Province has lots of potential of natural tourism, as one of them is in Cianjur region. The tourism site is already quite famous with beautiful scenery. The name of this place is Citambur Waterfall. Curug Citambur Tourism Area is located in the southern part of Cianjur, precisely in Karangjaya Village, Pagelaran Subdistrict, Cianjur, West Java Province. The trail can be reached by four-wheel and two-wheel vehicles. If departing from Bandung, you will take directions from Ciwidey to Kawaputih, then toward the Sinumbra Plantation to arrive at Karangjaya Village. The entrance gate of Citambur Waterfall is in front of the head village office. Listener, Curug Citambur has a beautiful natural scenery. The waterfall surrounded by trees and greenery. Now, these attractions are already quite popular and famous. Nevertheless, the naturalness is still maintained. Travelers who want to see the natural beauty in Curug Citambur are recommended to come during the rainy season because the landscape and view looks more beautiful. This is caused by the discharge of water flowing from the height of about 100 meters will be more increased and profusely. In addition, the vines that covered cliffs and grasses around the waterfall will be green and lush. Curug Citambur is equipped with various facilities for the tourists. It is a form to increase the attractiveness of Curug Citambur. Some of the existing facilities such as parking lots, restrooms, a prayer room, and stalls selling food and drinks are available in this area. To be able to enjoy the beautiful scenery in this Citambur waterfall, the tourists are required to pay for admission 3,000 rupiah per person. The admission price is used for the management and maintenance of the facilities in this tourism spot. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Curug Citambur.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Kerinci in Jambi province has kept unique culture that you cannot find in any other regions. One of them is traditional drink made of coffee leaf called kawo. In today's edition of Miscellany, we will inform you about the traditional drink from Jambi called kawo. Listener, coffee was first found in Ethiopia and then it was developed to the Middle East and has become European royal drink ever since. Coffee came for the first time to Indonesia, carried by the Dutch. One of Indonesian regions that is famous with its coffee is Jambi. Kerinci Robusta coffee grew on the people's planting area on the tropical highland. The coffee plantation lies on the 1,000 to 1,500 meters above sea level. Coffee trees is identical with its red fruit and reaches 1.50 to 2 meters high tree. During the colonial era, the pleasant taste of coffee cannot be enjoyed by the Kerinci farmers because all crops were taken by the Dutch and sold to Europe. But the farmers always have way to enjoy the coffee. Young coffee leaves considered as waste are used by the farmers to make coffee. The leaves are sliced into small pieces. Then they are put under the sun until the color changes into black. Afterwards, they are put in boiling water. Local people call it kawo coffee or coffee leaf extract. drinking coffee leaf extract becomes a habit for the farmers because it has different kinds of flavor and taste. Normally, farmers drink it without adding anything, but some farmers add brown sugar in it. The unique thing is that the farmers used to drink this coffee on the coconut shell called sayak. Meanwhile, the water container is made of bamboo called tagek. To have a maximum flavor, the kawa extract has to be put in the open pot for one night. So the steam will have a synergy with the kawa. Today, Kerinci is not the only place where you can enjoy kawo, because in West Sumatra and Lampung, kawo drink is also provided. Payakumbuh in West Sumatra, kawo has a good business offer. The restaurant and cafe owners innovate kawo with cinnamon, milk, lemon, ginger, and others. Young generation and tourists love this traditional drink and gain new source for the culinary business owners. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about traditional drink called kawo. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Dee, in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you Maggie Z, senior Indonesian male dangdut singer. To begin our program, here is a song, Jatuh Bangun by Maggie Z. Happy listening.
Segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Jatuh bangun aku mencintai, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku tawarkan gelas air, namun kau meminta lautan. Tak sanggup diriku, sungguh tak sanggup. Thank you.
sudah tahu luka di dalam dadaku. Sengaja kau siram dengan air garam. Kejamnya sikapmu membakar hatiku, sehingga cintaku berubah haluan. Percuma saja berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang. Percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang. Percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Ha.
Ha. Listener, you have just listened to a song by Maggie Zett entitled Jatuh Bangun. The song was once a hit in Indonesian music scene in the early 2000s. Maggie Zett, born as Maggie Zakaria, occupied a special place in the heart of dangdut lovers not only because of his melancholic songs, but also for his constant performances and dedication in Indonesian dangdut world. He started his career in late 60s and actively performed ever since. Maggie Zett also recorded to release a lot of albums. That's why Maggie's name aligned with other famous names in the Indonesia's dangdut industry who earned their popularity long before him. Maggie's success story in Indonesian dangdut world marked not only by the success of the songs he released, but also with numerous awards he received during his career. In 1997, Maggie Zett was crowned as Best Recording Dangdut Singer by one of Indonesia's commercial TVs and many other awards. In 1998, in the same event, one of Maggie's songs, entitled Benang Biru, was awarded as the Best Dangdut Song. Listener, a song by Maggie Zett entitled Benang Biru is the song I will play to you next. So, happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, thank you for still being with us in today's Music Corner, and you just listened to a song entitled Benang Biru by Maggie Z. Maggie Z's songs known to express a lot of comparisons that made him unique. Although he has already passed away, his songs are still often played in many radio stations in Indonesia. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Maggie Z entitled Terlanjur Basah. Enjoy the song and sampai jumpa lagi.
basah, ia sudah mandi sekali. Terlanjur retak, ia sudah pecah sekali. Habis bagaimana, tiada bukti kau dapat. Kau tuduh diriku bercinta lagi dengannya. Terlanjur malu, ia sudah malu. Depan orang kau tega memfitnah aku. Bukankah fitnah lebih kejam dari membunuh? Terlanjur basah, ia sudah mandi sekali.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku mengadu. Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.